so much. I appreciate that. Nice change from the routine, isn't it? I was thinking this morning, someone mentioned to me here recently, said, "Tony, you're not a guy of routine. You always like to flex and do things different. I don't like being stuck in the same thing." So I really appreciate that. Thank you for singing for us and leading us in worship. I like to do things different. Someday I'll do something different up here. And I don't know, we may even look and change something around here. But I never have liked routine. I was thinking this morning how I could change I-10. Just something different out there. I'm tired of the same old, looking at the same old stuff on I-10. Well, let's jump right into this. I'm sorry we're late today, and we'll try to start moving where we're going to start as close as we can to 10:30, so everybody know, and we kind of flex in and folks come in late, but we can't keep doing that because we keep pushing it. So 10:30 is, we're going to try from now on 10:30, and it might be 10:35, but we're going to be as close as we can. And okay, is that all right there, buddy? Because if we wait for people, and then we get later and later, and so we'll just, that's what we're going to do, and that way I'm not up here worried, and you're not worried looking at your watch saying, "Oh gosh, he's just getting started, it's 11:15, and I need to be in here at 11. So anyway, we'll do it. We can get that done, and we'll get on track, stay on track. But wonderful music. Thank you so much. You wrote that, didn't you? Yeah. All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Now, we had a few things we needed to mention. Pad, you'd asked me about something, and now I don't remember.
Praises.
Tom's surgery. Yeah, went good? Fantastic.
Big Clayton.
Clayton, yeah, you're doing good with that arm, right?
Raise your arm, Clayton. And Buff.
And Buff. Buff, yes, sir. You too. Yeah, we praise God for you too. We like you. Let's talk about the light of Christ today. And over in 1 Thessalonians, we know the Matthew part, and it talks about, you're the light of the world, salt of the earth, light of the world, and the house on the hill cannot be hidden. We'll talk about that in a moment. But we want to look at what Thessalonians says, and this is the New American Standard, and it uses one word in here, but it's not a big deal, and I'll tell you about it as we start. Chapter 5, start with verse 1, we'll go through 1 through 11, and then we'll jump into this, and I'll kind of condense some things so we don't keep you here too long. Now, as to the times and the epochs, the writings and all the prophesying and all the stuff, what it means, and to the times and all the predictions and all the writings, as to the brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. He says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." Now, it says, here's one of the few clues we have, and this message today is not to say, "Oh, okay, so all those that are saying that he's coming now and all this." Listen, we don't know, and don't let anybody tell you that they know. Jesus said, "No one knows, not even me, only the Father." But here he's saying, You know full well the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. He says it's going to sneak up on you when you don't expect it. That's what he's talking about. He says, but while they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them. And suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, they will not escape. Now he gives us signs, and he said there'll be signs in the heavens, and there'll be all this kind of stuff. And the sun will be blackened out, which it's going to be in October a little bit for just a small. But that's just a small touch of that eclipse. Everybody going to watch the eclipse and all that, I guess. I got people calling and saying, "I want to come stay with you. You're going to drive all the way from where I grew up. You want to come? We got family wanting to come down." And it's like, it's just going to be like that. And it's like, we got to come down and see it. It's going to be right over you, Tony. I thought, there's been darkness over me for I don't know how long. There's been a cloud hanging over me. I just want it to rain and get over it. But anyway, so, they're saying, we want to come down, got to stay with you, and we got to watch the eclipse, fine, whatever. And so, while they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come, like labor pains, and it says, but, so, it's going to come, and there'll be all these signs of the stars. We're seeing a lot of signs. But if all the books that were written, and all the prophecies, and people predicting, and I'm talking some well-known people, and they'd be false prophets, and they wouldn't be here today because they'd have been stoned to death, because false prophets that were supposed to be stoned. And they predicted and made millions off of writing books on when Jesus is coming. And here he comes. He's coming next month. He's coming. It was going to come in 2000 when the computers wouldn't turn over. Remember that? That was going to be the end of the world. Yeah. You know, and here we go. And so it's one thing after another. And all he tells us, and this is not to get into all that, don't let anybody tell you that they know, because they don't. We can just know this, along with everything else Jesus taught, and I don't have time to go into all that. He said it's going to be, they're going to say peace, safety. They're not, in other words, he said, he's coming when people in general do not expect him to come. The world is not going to be looking for him. And as Christians, we're to be doing that. But here's what this is about. It says, you, brethren, you and me, all of us, we're not in darkness, that the day would overtake us, take you like a thief. You're all sons and you're all sons, daughters. You're people of light, people of day, and we're not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. Does everybody hear this? You see, there's a lot of people sleeping. And it doesn't mean just, you know, he doesn't mean just physical sleep. I think Christianity is asleep. We've fallen into a routine out there, and Christian people are going to church to be pacified, to be entertained, and we've gone to sleep and not looking at what's happening, and we're not involved. I purposely listened to one of these guys, and not that way, but that way, and you know, and he was on TV, and he was teaching this lesson, another feel good lesson, you know, but I listened to him, so I thought, I want to be sure, maybe things have changed. It hasn't changed. And I thought, nothing controversial there. Had these little lines you fill in, you know, and blah blah blah, and the lesson was how to stop worrying. And I thought, see, doesn't that feel good? It's all about me, how I can stop worrying. And not a thing in it was about Christ and his teaching. Friends, listen, if it sounds too good to be true, it really, really is. When Jesus will do all this stuff for you, and he'll help you stop worrying, but he's going to tell you there's some things you're going to do for me to do this. And you know, and it's not just one of those fill in the blank of life. We all want to fill in the blank and it's all going to be okay. And it's just not that way. And we fall asleep with this. And people, we're sleeping and we're letting evil. What is that, you know? What's that close? As close as I can get to it, you know? You know, evil will only prevail when what? Good people do nothing. And I just see a sleeping Christianity everywhere. And that's the reason for this message. God just saying, hey, you know, deal with it. So let's deal with it. He says, you are people of the light, sons of light, daughters of light, sons of the day. We're not of light, night nor darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. Well, he just popped right in there with that, didn't he? I thought of all the things he could pick out, but anyway. But then, aren't people in a state of drunkenness all the time? And I don't mean just alcoholic drunkenness. Well, it seems like we're in a drunken stupor. You notice that with the world, the media? You look at elected officials and you wonder, are you some kind of a drunken stupor? Do you people not get it? No, they don't get it. But you look in the church, you say, does the church get it anymore? But he says, so don't be that way. He said, but since we're of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. And as he said, put on the breastplate. It's like a breastplate to protect you. You put faith and love on as a breastplate. So the fiery darts of the enemy can't penetrate the thing and give you some protection. And he said, and as a helmet, he said, wear your salvation like a helmet. Let it protect your dadgum head, your mind, your thinking. So your thoughts don't go off, and don't listen to a bunch of garbage, and don't start doubting God, and careful. So he said, put on as a helmet your salvation. And listen to this. God is not destined us for wrath. He didn't put you here to send you to hell. He didn't put you here to be beat up. He didn't put you here for his little puppet to pick on. He didn't destine you for that. But for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we live together with him. Therefore, what? Encourage one another and build up one another just as you're doing. You hear that? He said, don't tear each other down. Don't discourage each other. You said, wake up and do what? Encourage each other. Build each other up just as you're doing. So that's plenty for today. And we're not even going to take all of that. What we're going to talk about is the light of Christ and letting it shine through you. And let's talk a minute about the ones who have the light, the ones who have Jesus' light. That's you and me. Listen, what is that light? It's the light of his presence, the light of his Holy Spirit. And he said over in Matthew, let your light so shine before men, before people, that they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So he said, you're here to shine, not show off. That's the problem. He said, don't mix show off with shine. You're here to shine. You're here to let God's Holy Spirit, his Shekinah glory, his power within you, come through your life so that it shines like a light. We're salt and light. We're not going to talk about the salt today. We're going to talk about the light. And people of the light, just jot this down. People of the light don't have anything to fear. God's not going to punish you. That's what he said down here. We're not destined for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So quit being afraid of God. We're to have a reverential fear, a worshipful fear of God. That's an awe, you know, the dignity of God. But not, don't be afraid. God's going to hit you over the head. And you'll hear people say, I think whatever's happening or this or that, it's because God's upset with me. God's ticked off at me. If he's ticked off at you, he's ticked off at everybody. You think that your sins are worse than everybody else's? The scripture tells us plainly that there's no temptation, but what? But that's common to man. If you have a temptation, you're not alone. Everybody else has it too. You say, really? Yes. Whatever it is, he said, it's nothing new. Everybody struggles with the same stuff. You know what the problem is? We won't admit it. We want to blame somebody else for everything, and we won't admit that we struggle with the same things other people do. And one of the problems that I had, and we all had as pastors, you know, you're taught, seminary, all this stuff, you know, keep your life away from everybody, you know, separate and distinct. And so everybody thinks, oh, he is different. He doesn't struggle with. Are you kidding me? Who do you think would struggle the most with temptations? The one who's trying to serve the Lord, the one he's called. Don't you think the devil's going to come at him more strongly? Who did the devil confront in the wilderness? Peter? Even Paul? Jesus. The one most representing God. And he tried to take him down. And so he's always after the head. He's always after the shepherd, the under-shepherd. And so realize, that's why I need your prayers. All the time. Don't let up. Keep me covered. Because I guarantee you, he'll throw anything he can. Anything. Everything. You know, and so we're all subject to all this stuff. We all struggle. But you have nothing to fear. Why? Because by grace we are saved. And you remember that. By grace we are saved. It's over in Ephesians. By grace we are saved through faith. And this not of ourselves, it's what? It's the gift of God. And it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And what's he saying? Grace is of God. He extends it to you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And he said you can't earn it. It's not something that you've worked yourself up to. It's not a reward for good behavior. By grace we're saved and we live by grace. You know what we all are? We're all sinners saved by grace. And we all subject to sin. Well, maybe you don't. You don't have any problems with that, do you? You don't sin, do you? We all do. You know, I got upset with people this morning and they didn't do a thing to me. I didn't like it because I was obeying the speed limit. I really was. I put that cruise control on the speed limit and I kept it there. And they're going by me. You ever get jealous because people are getting away with sin and you're not? Does it ever bug you? You know, they're breaking the law. And they were shooting past me. And a lot of those plates this morning were not Texas plates. And I thought, hey, you're visiting here. Be nice. But they were, and I was over in the right lane. I wasn't even driving down the outside lane. And they were just flying by, you know. And someone would run up behind me. Why do you want to run up behind me in the slow lane? Why do that? It's wide open over there. Kill yourself. You know, get out if you want to, but get away from me. You ever feel like that? And then I think they liked that, cutting over and cutting it. And I was thinking, where's the highway patrol when you want them? But you'll go down a hill. And by the way, you know, cruise control does not keep you on the same speed when you go down the hill. But when you do it, 3 miles over, he's sitting there. But they're doing it going 20 miles over, and the aliens have just zapped them up. I'm the only one that struggles with that, right? Oh, see? It's common to us all. Hey, by the way, I learned this week. I don't want to ramble too much. I learned this week. I didn't realize it. They can, on the interstate, they can give you a ticket for driving in the outside lane if you're not passing. I was in a little thing in a little conference, and the guy was talking about that, and he said, "Do you know?" He said, "Clayton, you're gonna like this." He was talking about the law and different laws and things, and he said, "Do you know why?" He said, "Do you know why police officers write you a ticket?" And I said, "Well, yeah, you're speeding, you're doing this." He said, "No, because they can." Okay. And he said, for instance, he said, we had a girl, and she got a ticket at 2 o'clock in the morning on the interstate. And she wasn't breaking the speed limit or anything. She was just driving in, the fast lane. And a highway patrol pulled her over and gave her a ticket. Now, I thought, you know, my first thought was, that's a little, you know, but anyway. So she got a ticket for it, and I didn't realize it. And he said, it really means what it says, for passing only. And we were just going through some stuff, and I was like, seriously? And they can get you for that. Okay. So where were they today? You could have written 100 tickets out there where I was at. Anyway. Back to this. We all go through things, and yet because we have our own little hang-ups and we have stuff, and I shared that with you, I get upset with drivers, and you get upset with this, or you maybe have a lustful problem, or you have a cussing problem, you curse a lot, and or you have a temper thing or anger, you just can't, you know, blah, whatever it is, you need to work on it. You need to let God work on it. But while it's happening, you have nothing to fear, and God's not going to send you to hell for it. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you're truly letting His light be in your life. Everybody with me here? This is not a license to sin. It's a license to be free. It's a license to be the light of the world and yet know that you're human. You have nothing to be ashamed of. I don't know why you're... Why are you walking around with shame? Why are you still shame? I talk about this a lot, and yet I still have people call. I still meet with people, and they start talking about that they're ashamed of something. Why are you ashamed? God's forgiven. He's covered it. He's thrown it into the depths of the sea, and He removed it from you as far as the east is from the west. What's your problem? Do you not believe Him? Why are you letting your conscience, your mind beat you up? Why are you beating yourself up? Okay, it happened, whatever it was. Somebody left you. You had a bad marriage. You had a baby and you weren't married. And you've reckoned with that. You confessed it to God, whatever it was. Come clean. God's done forgotten it. He's put it away from you. And what He said? Go, live, live. I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. Now get after it. Don't look back. Look forward. Let's move on. You have nothing to hide from. Quit hiding from people. Quit hiding from your past. Quit hiding from yourself. Be who you are. Listen, people of God's light have, you know, they've moved from, people of God's light have moved from darkness. They're in His light. You're not people of the dark. Listen, if there's something that's not honorable in your life, confess it. You know, accept God's forgiveness through Christ. Do it today. Do it right now. Just accept God's forgiveness. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. If you walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, that's 1 John, you look it up, it's in the first chapter. You know, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. How about that? Isn't that great? Except that God has removed everything in your life that's sinful as far as the east is from the west. You know, real Christianity, you know what real Christianity is? It's coming clean. It's openness. I'll tell you what real Christianity is. You ready for this? And you see so little of it. Transparency. Excuse me. It doesn't mean you have to confess every little thing, hidden sin, to everybody. You need to do that with God. Transparency means I'm me. Here I am. I'm not hiding behind something. I'm not pretending to be something here and somebody else I'm out there. I've wanted in churches I pastored in the past so many times to stand up. They'd say, "We're the real person. Please stand up." And because you could see the fakeness, you know. It's kind of like having something sticky on your fingers. It was just sticky. You could just see it. Fake is sticky. It's just nasty. Why fake it? Why not be real? You see, we're so insecure about in our own skin and the skin God gave us and being who He made us to be. Be transparent. Let people see your life. What you got to hide? If it's something you feel like you got to hide, then get it confessed to God and get out to tell people about it. I've said this before. If you want to keep people from gossiping so much, tell them in the first place. You tell them. Then they can't talk about it because you already told them. You say, maybe they say until you, did you ever get drunk? Did you ever do something stupid? Say, oh man, yeah, 15 times. If you confess on yourself, you just get transparent. What can anybody say? They can't sneak around and say, did you know they got drunk, but they act like they didn't? You already said you did. Did you ever get in a fight? Were you ever in jail? Just tell people. Yeah, just say it. And it's done. Yes, I was. I moved on now. I'm good to go. See? What difference does it make? It's like, Tony, did you ever rebel against the Lord and leave the ministry? I sure did. Yeah, I quit it. I had enough. I threw it out of town. Only time in my life I can remember ever really just quitting anything. I did. A pastor at the meanest church I've ever been around in my life, but no excuse. But y'all know that. Why should I hide it? And I walked away. Done. I'll just go live like everybody else. You know what happened to me? He wouldn't let me. I want to just go. I'm tired of pastoring. I've been pastoring all these years. I'm done with it. I'm fed up with all the stuff. And I go out there and he wouldn't let me go. He's God's honoree. You say, I'm done. I'm not. Don't you? No, I am not. I'm done with this. I've done my thing. I've taken all this abuse, criticism, and the junk. You have no idea. Really, seriously. And it's not, poor me. It's just everything about you is criticized. Everything's watched. Anything. There are certain people out there in every church you go to that's looking for any little flaw. You just get sick of it. And finally, it's enough. And I left it. Let's go live like the rest of the world. Everywhere I turned, God was there. Every sinful thing I tried to do, He's there. It's like, don't you ever sleep? And you say, you ever felt like that? Could you just take a nap? This sin I want to commit is not that bad. You won't even notice it when you wake up. And you know what he does? He's standing right there and he's got these field glasses, And everything you try to do, you get convicted of it. Listen, God says my calling and my gifting and my calling, they're irrevocable. You can run, but I'm going to be there. And when you hit the end of your string, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be sent. Remember me? Remember me? You at the end of your rope? Yes. If you let go, I'll catch you. But as long as you hold on to that rope, you're just going to struggle. And he'll let you hold on to it at the very end until you just give out and quit fighting him. I fought him. No more of this. I'm going to go do some. I want to be a soldier and kill people. Yeah, I'm going to be a mercenary. I even looked into being a mercenary. I was going to go be a mercenary. I looked into it, you know, soldier fortune guys. And I'm just about there. I talked to a guy about it. I went that far. I do security work, something like that. And you know, I had the training, background, everything's right. But he is stubborn. And it was like, you're not going to do that. But I want to do that. I'm tired of trying to save people. Can I just kill a few? And I'm saying it. I really was thinking it. You know, I just want to go back and do some dirty stuff. And it's like, I've done cleaned that dirt from you, son. And you may want to act like a pig, but you're not a pig. Haven't we all done that? You might want to go and wallow in the mud and the filth of this world, but I've done cleaned you up, and I'm not about to let you go. Never. That's what this is all about. And be transparent. You know, I tell on myself, I don't mind. I used to. I was scared to death to talk about stuff I've done. I don't care. Somebody come up to me and say, golly, as a pastor, I can't believe you did that. And it's like, well, get over it. Because I did. And I'm here. And you know why I'm here? I've said it before, but some of you are new here, so I'll say it again. You know why I'm here? Having done all that, been through the hell on earth I've been through, so I caused a lot myself and others did it to me. But you know, in spite of it all, you know why I'm here? You can look at me and say, God, what have I said before? If you can use Tony after all he's done and all he's been through, then you can use me. That's why I'm here. Amen. You bet. If he can say, you're still my vessel and I've cleaned you up and you're going to do it, he can use you. You're there. Let me talk about the people of darkness for a minute. The people of darkness, you know who that is? That's the people who don't know Christ, who refuse him, who rebel against him. They're the antichrist, anti-God people. They're the communists, the socialists. They're the, and I'm going to say it, and a lot of them are woke, and they need to wake up. I'm not here to preach on that. I'm just saying the only people awake are those in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, and there's no other way. That's it. Don't care what people say or do. He's done said it in his word, and God's word is final. That's it. That's it. He just puts it out there. People in the dark are stumbling around. They're confused. They're frustrated. They live in fear, and so they use money and power to try to dominate others. They're really weak people. And without that money and power, they're nothing. Does everybody hear me? They're in darkness. I'm not here to condemn them. They're condemning themselves. They're the kind of people who will shake your hand and then they'll turn around and they'll stab you in the back with criticism, gossip, anything they can come at you with. That's people of darkness. They do it to each other all the time. You see it out there. Just watch the news for a little bit. They twist the truth. Who was the first truth twister? The devil. Remember? The serpent in the garden, twisting the truth of God, twisting the word. And these people in darkness twist the truth. They plot and they conspire and they cheat and they steal and they go after others. And you know why they go after others? To cover their dark deeds. Isn't it amazing? Those that accuse others the most are the ones so much guilty of the most themselves. That's the whole object of accusing other people, is to hide your own. See, there's that transparency gone. I know none of you do that, but you know people who do. People of the dark, they wrap everything in their life around what's in it for me. Don't they? You're not that. And you're not to have any association with them. You're to witness to them, but don't run around with them. They rub off on you. And let's talk about, you know, that's people of the dark. The ones who have darkness, man, that's the way that they're living. It's awful. They know deep down what they're doing is wrong. But they won't admit it, and they blame everybody else for it. Stop blaming people. Just give it to God. Now, I'm kind of condensing, I know, because we started late. But let me get this third point, because it's very important. Let's talk about the lifestyle. you know, the ones who have the lifestyle of light. What is it? They let, listen to this. Catch this word. They let God's light shine through them. You have to let it. God won't force His power, His Holy Spirit, His holy light to shine through you. You have to let Him. You've got to be transparent to do it. Now, let me show you something. I brought this. This is one of my old camouflage scars. And I just want to use this to illustrate this. And I brought this little... I wear this. I've got my old military ones, but they're so ragged. I still wear them. When we jumped, we wore bandanas, the OD green bandanas. We stole them from the medics. They're what you're supposed to, you know, put a sling in, the OD. But we tuck them and twist them and wrapped around, you know, tied a knot. It just looked cool. You know, if you're going to jump out of an airplane, look cool. If you're going to splatter down there when the chute doesn't open, do it in style. So, people of the dark. People of the dark, they're this. You see any light coming through there? Not at all. You know what you see? Camouflage. People of the dark are camouflaging everything they do. They want to look good. They want to hide behind some kind of camouflage, and they have no light at all. Just camouflage. Now, here's the scary part. There's many a Christian who's asked Jesus in their heart. However, this is about all the light you get to see because they won't be transparent. They won't come clean with God. Yes, they're Christians, and that's all the light you get. And there are many a Christian is in church today. Oh yeah, there's a light, a little bit of light. And in the dark, that's just not going to do you much good. And that's many a Christian who's, you know what's wrong with them? They've got one foot in Christ and the other one in the world. And they won't make the decision to, it's one big gigantic leap to do what? To come out of this and let their light shine. You're going to have to come clean and get transparent and get to confessing, and then the light of Christ, I'm trying not to shine this in anybody's eyes, but the light of Christ will begin to shine through you. You're not in darkness, friends, but look at your own life and ask yourself, is that about what people see of a light in me? You know one of the reasons we don't let our light shine anymore? We don't let God really, really engulf us, possess us? We don't want to be that accountable. We don't want people to know what we really are. We just want to be a little bit, and we want to turn it on and off, see, when we want it, instead of just letting it shine all the time. And it's time to come out from that bit of camo that you have, whatever it is that you need to get out of the way, and be transparent, and let that light shine. Shine as brightly as you can. Let it shine. Why? Because that's you. That light coming through you, quite possibly, is the only light that some out there are ever going to see. And you're their one chance to get it right. Come out from this stuff. Quit hiding behind this. That's what people of darkness are doing, and they're camouflaging everything. You don't need camouflage. You don't have to hide. Get out there and be who you are. Oh, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. You're going to blow it once in a while, and then you can confess it to God. Get it right, learn from it, and move on. Right? Right. That's what Christianity is all about. You get out there, and you said, and if I get that committed, somebody's going to come up to me and say, I know what you did. I know it too, better than you do. God knows it better than any of us, but He forgave me. He washed me. I'm clean. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm clean. I'm freed from it. You can't say anything about me. You're not my judge, right? God's my judge. And God has declared me not guilty because Jesus took my place on that cross. Isn't that great? So stop basing your self-worth and all this stuff and on what's on your performance or what other people say about you and what you've done or not done in your life. Friends, get transparent, get it out there. Get that old camo out of the way and say, here I am. All of me. You know what that means? All of me means, here I am, imperfections and all. And if God loves me this way, you can learn to love me too. Right? Because I'm the light. And I'm going out in the world. And somebody out there needs that light. Today, don't they? This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Yes, sir. That's it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, isn't it beautiful? Yeah. I didn't know the rest of it, but I remember that. Thank you, God, for your message today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power. Thank you that there it is. Thank you that you accept us right here. We're sinners saved by grace. And yet your light is in there. We don't have to hide behind something. No camouflage. God, take it off. Lead us right now to confess, repent, get it right, cleanse. It doesn't matter. We're God's people. You're our God. You love us where we are. Now help us to accept ourselves where we are and other people and just get out there and let it shine. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you for being here.